everybody. This is Anthony Mitchell coming back with another edition of the End Zone Club, where, as you guys know, we have conversation that is designed to push you from walking into potential to actually fulfilling your purpose. And today, guys, I got a special guest who is the Da Vinci of Christian comic books. But before I bring him in, of course, I got to do my preliminaries that lets you know wherever you are listening to this podcast, please like, share, rate, subscribe, share it with a friend, because after today's content, you're going to want to make sure you're getting this into the ears of your listeners. But with that said, you guys have heard enough from me. Let me give the platform to my special guest. Let me allow him to introduce himself, and let's get this Holy Ghost party started. Who do I have with me today?
Good afternoon, everyone. How you doing? My name is Chevis Davis, best-selling author, speaker, and all-around entrepreneur. Looking forward to having a great conversation on today.
You know, Mr. Chevis, I got to be honest with you. Before I even hit you with the million-dollar questions, I just want to soften it with a blow, and I'd have to know, did you see Black Panther?
I did not yet. Reason being, awesome. All right, reason being is because, you know, we've got to see it with my family, and I'm not with them right now, so I'm waiting for the opportunity.
Traditionally, I do have to throw this out. I am a comic book fan myself, which was why I really saw your vision and fell in love with it. So I like to judge people, and my guests especially, based on this one question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
DC or Marvel?
Always Marvel.
Okay. You're okay with me. So with that said, I can proceed with questioning. But I do have to know, again, on a lighthearted note, I know that both of us are comic book fans. We love the art of storytelling. I'm also a fellow artist. But not much about me, but more about you. Can you go back a little in your past and kind of just build a platform for what got you from where you were to where you are now as a comic book designer and best-selling artist?
Yeah, definitely. It started off on my journey when I was about 6 years old. I was at a summer camp, and I seen a ninja on the wall. And I said, man, that ninja looks great. I wish I can draw it. So I asked the counselor for a pen or a pencil, and I started to draw it. And it started to come out nice. And then some kids started coming in from outside and said, hey, Chevis, you can draw? I was like, I guess I can. They're like, well, can you draw me a ninja too? I'm like, sure, just give me one quarter and I'll draw you one. So that day I made about $2.50, was able to be able to buy some sodas and some donuts from, you know, the little area, vending area. And then that next school year when I got back, you know, I kind of fell in love with drawing. And my art teacher there, she said, you know, you don't need to be at a regular school. You need to go to a specialized art school so you can develop your skills. And so I ended up having to make a portfolio that year and submitted it to, you know, in Miami, that's called a magnet art program, which is about, you know, the expressive arts, music, art, dance, and drama. And so they have select schools that have those opportunities for those individuals. And so I matriculated to another school where I was, you know, taught and trained and went to art classes and art museums and all that, and kind of developed my skills as an artist. And then around about fifth grade, my dad tried to get me to read these books, and I just, you know, they were boring. And then I discovered comic books, and it's been all uphill from there, to be honest with you. I started creating my own books, creating my own characters, and I just never stopped. I never stopped.
So let me, I have to unpack something you just said, because I talked about a similar story with myself. So prior to the day you saw a ninja and you drew it, did you not know that you were able to draw?
I didn't know any time previous to that moment about drawing or painting or coloring or anything. I don't remember anything art related. If there was, that moment defined me as an artist. I would say that much.
You know, something I'm a firm believer is in this idea that our gifts make room for us. It's almost like sometimes when we're ready, they present themselves. So in your case, you being an artist, this gift presents itself to you. Now, let me ask you something. You mentioned growing up in the Miami area. How much of your gift probably shielded you a lot from some of the pitfalls in that area?
Well, for me, art was my way to connect one with myself. I think a lot of problems we have with youth these days. They don't have a connection with themselves. And not only that, but art also built me a community because all of my friends were artists. So we had a relatability that was different than, you know, drugs, alcohol, ganging, and doing those type of things. My community was artists. So we were kind of art nerds. So nerds, you know, kind of stay to themselves anyway. And so being able to have that art community around me, it kind of helped me excel in my expertise as an artist. Not only that, but it challenged me because there were some artists that were better than me in my class. So it pushed me to be a better artist. And so it helped me, you know, stay within that realm. And then with the magnet program, you can go from school to school to school with the same group of kids. So the kids I went to elementary with, I also went to middle school with, that I also went to high school with. And then my best friends end up going to the same college with me. So being able to have that type of scenario kind of just helped propel me to be a better individual and a better artist.
I like that. I like that. And that kind of just brings me to my next question, because I'm fine tuning your vision as I'm hearing you expressing basically how God allowed that gift to provide you an outlet. And that's something we're really big on. We feel like a lot of times kids that don't have an outlet of expression in a positive way, a lot of times the streets or this life, this culture will present them with an outlet. For yourself, you mentioned being a comic book artist. How did you take this gift and get it to what you're doing now? Kind of share that portion of the journey, because I'm really curious to know what that sounds like.
Oh, yes, indeed. As you said before, our gifts will make room for us, but we also have to be able to see the opportunity that comes with the gift that's making the room for us. Sometimes our gift will make room for us, but then we'll close the door to the room. And so it's important that we keep that door open and walk through it. And so what happened with me is after I finished college, I have a degree in computer art and animation from Savannah College of Art and Design. And when I got back, there was a shift between two-dimensional animation and three-dimensional animation. And so what's happening was as I was graduating, all the studios were closing their 2D animation studios and opening up 3D animation studios. And I say, I'm not going to go get another degree and learn all of the things about 3D animation, because my passion and love is for 2D animation. And just so you can know, 2D animation is animation that's, Bugs Bunny and, you know, that style. And 3D is, you know, Toy Story. And so what happened is I ended up getting a job as a substitute teacher, maybe like a year and a half out of college. And I noticed that there was no connection for kids with God or reading the Bible. So I would poll kids, you know, how many of you guys been to church, and maybe one or two hands? How many of you guys, read the Bible, maybe one or two hands? And this is a room of 30, 35 kids. And so what happened is I figured that there was a disconnect somewhere. And the kids say, you know, we want to know about God. I want to know about the Bible, but our parents are not teaching us. So I said, let me create something that's cool and that's going to be able to be relatable to what their situation is. And so I created the comic book, The Whole Armor, back in 2006, when I realized that there was a gap between a spiritual connection from our youth. So that was the beginning of the genesis of that part of the story.
Kind of, you know, I kind of talk more. I don't want to jump away from the whole armor concept. Talk a little more about like what went into developing the characters and gaining the confidence, not just to in your mind see a need, try to address the need through your gift, but now to have the confidence to put that gift in front of people in a way that they can relate with the messaging. Talk about that portion of the journey as well.
Yes, indeed. So as I was creating and developing the character, it's my belief that the lie is the first sin that we all run into. You know, when we're babies, you say, did you eat that cookie? No. And so I knew that the first issue was going to be about lying, because it's the easiest sin for us to commit, the easiest thing for us to do. And everybody does it. And a lot of people just do it so fluently that you can never know the truth. And so being a Christian, you know, for so long, I kind of took my skills of studying the Bible, my skills as an artist, and my relatability with young people to kind of develop this book. And so the same classes that I was asking the questions about reading the Bible and going to church were the same audience that I would ask questions about what I'm drawing. So they saw me drawing the book throughout the school year, and they would ask questions, give me advice, what they, you know, what they needed to know. So I had my audience in front of me the whole time. So I didn't have to guess, you know, who's going to enjoy this part? Should I say this or should I say that? And so I had my group just built into the whole scenario. And so as I developed the book, they were excited. So they would ask for copies of the drawings so they can color on them. They would say, you know, Miss Davis, can't wait till the book come out and be the first one to buy it. And these were middle school kids, and it was so exciting. So they actually they poured back into me and gave me the confidence to keep going. Because, you know, as an artist, you may be working on something, you're like, man, this is taking too long. Forget it. I'll stop. But they were encouraging me throughout the school year to keep pushing to make sure I finish it, because they knew what the goal was for me from the beginning.
So during that process, as you're building this whole armor concept and you're developing characters and everybody's relating with it, were you doing this all by yourself, or what did your team look like? I'm trying to see how you were able to really push this vision out, because I think a lot of times, a lot of people have great ideas, but a lot of the areas where they're lacking is, first of all, belief in their gift. And then second of all, that village that's going to help them push something from just being a good idea to an actual, you know, something of fruition. How did you do that?
Well, for me, I had it was just me. It was a vision that God gave to me, and I couldn't take anybody on the ride with me at the particular point, nor could I have or depend on anyone to do what was inside of me. So what happened is I just was drawing. You know, I would spend the extra time I needed drawing and just putting myself into it. And there was really no team that I can, you know, count on for this particular thing. So I didn't develop a team until maybe issue number 4 or 5. And I only reached out because it was just taking so long to be able to, you know, do the whole process while, you know, having a family and working. And so I didn't reach out to anybody until issue 4, 5, and 6, you know, to kind of build up the team. So I actually had to teach myself how to color digitally, how to ink and draw. All those things were just developed, you know, through the process, researching, YouTube, buying books from, at the time, Barnes and Nobles, just learning and developing new skills just to be able to create. So if a person is trying to do something, it's imperative that they dig deep in themselves and just do it. We learn what we need to do by doing it, not by somebody telling us or going to college or whatever. What we need to learn to do, we have to just do sometimes. And, you know, as the Bible says, faith without works is dead. We may have faith that we can do it, but we have to put the work in order for that to come to fruition.
So the next portion of this, staying in that same vein, that I do want to ask you, for all the characters that you've developed, which one of the storylines do you relate with the most? Like, you get the most pride or joy when you're reading this particular character and storyline. Which one relates the most to you and why?
I think the main character, Elijah, relates the most to me because he's the first character. And not only that, I kind of gave him my personality. Now, throughout the book, I put some of my personality into the other characters, but he relates to me the most. But not only that, my favorite book is the girl book, which is called V is for Vanity, because when I wrote it where the main demon was just really characterized by alliteration. And so I really dug deep into my skills as a writer to develop that character, and it makes the book, you know, more phenomenal for me.
So predominantly, as far as your demographics, who do you feel like your stories are really geared to the most?
I would have to say between the ages of, 13 and up. Little kids can indulge in it and like it as well. But I think the grasp of the books would be, you know, the middle school age, because that's where, you know, the genesis was, where it started. And but I wrote it to the effect where adults would maybe love it more. And the reason being is my mom you know, when she was pregnant with me, she said all she used to watch was the stories. And so as she, you know, listened to these stories, she would rub her stomach and say she wanted a creative son. And she got it indeed. So when I wrote the stories, I wrote it with her in mind so that it can be engaging and impactful. And the concept of the book is real life stories about spiritual warfare and how to fight with the whole armor. So that's what the books are really about. And to just give you a quick synopsis of what the entirety, the genesis of and the universe of is, the book is about young people who have spiritual, socio-emotional challenges, struggles, and sins that manifest into demons. The young people then have to go into a spiritual realm to fight the demons to get their real lives back on track. But in order to defeat their demon, they have to put on the whole armor. So that's the concept of the whole book series.
You know, I think we live in an age of grace, a great age of mercy, where nobody's talking about the spiritual warfare side of mm-hmm. what we face. So to hear a young man that has built a vision that is really encompassing parts of weaponry that we don't use anymore, I mean, I'm blown away. For yourself, what made this particular message alive within you where it became something you were incorporating in your ministry?
It's the fact that it's life. You know, we think that spiritual warfare was happening before we even discovered mental health. And spiritual warfare and mental health is almost synonymous. You know, the reason we have the mental health is because our spirit is off. And what happens is people don't realize who we communicate with and who we are involved with, whether it be a relationship, whether it be sexually, whether it be family or whatever. Those people carry their own demons. And sometimes if we're not careful, those demons will impress upon us. And wherever we go, whether it's, you know, a club or a strip club or even a church, we got to realize that there's a spiritual realm that we need to deal with in order for our physical realm to be intact. And with that in mind, I want to let people know that that exists. And I want people to be reminded that it exists through these books and through the animation series that we're creating, because without realizing and recognizing that it exists, you will ignore it and then wonder what's going on in your life. What happens in our spiritual realm will affect our physical realm. And without, you know, knowing that you need to get something straight spiritually, you just may think that you have bad luck physically.
It's almost like having a hand tied behind your back and you're engaging in a fight with a skilled boxer. You wouldn't go into that fight, you know, with any disadvantage knowingly. However, we are in this age where a lot of times we're only taught to see, you know, everything at face value and not knowing that beneath the surface, there is a spiritual realm that is very real. And that if you don't understand the engagement of it, it will hold you at a disadvantage.
Definitely.
With that said, every time I get a guest on this platform, I always like to pose this question. And I know I told you I got you questions, but this one is designed to make you think. And it goes something like this. But I ask, knowing what you know now, what's one thing you wish if you were this age now and you know what you know now, what would you tell your younger self?
I definitely would tell my younger self to avoid certain people. The women I may have interacted with, I would tell myself to stay away from her because that's a waste of time. And then the friends who became foes, I would warn myself about watching that spirit as well. And so I think those are the most important things, because without those scenarios, even though they helped develop me as an individual, the hurt, I think, could have been unnecessary.
I could actually do a whole nother podcast based on what you just said.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is just reality. A lot of us live in this bubble where we're trying to impress people and do things to fit in certain crowds, where a few years from now, looking back, we won't know where a lot of those people are or why what they were doing were so impressed upon our lives, where we had to conform to this ideology. With that said, I just want you to take a few minutes to just really pour something that's on your heart to a lot of the kids, because every time I get a different guest on this platform, all of them come from different backgrounds, different wealth of wisdom and knowledge, and they often leave nuggets that kids are able to draw something from. Speak to some of these younger kids, even in that same vein, just some more before we get out of here. I'd like to hear a little more from you on that tip.
Definitely. You know, to any of the young people that may be listening, and even the parents, it's important that you encourage your kids, if you're a parent, in a positive way. And for the young people, just know that you already have a gift. You may have not discovered it yet, but the people around you know what your gift is. So when they tell you you're great, don't say, no, I don't think so. I'm not that good. Accept that gift. When someone says, oh man, great shot, accept that blessing. Accept that word of encouragement. If someone calls you pretty or handsome, accept that. Embrace that God has given you a great ability and a great gift, and he gave you promise. And if you can accept who you are as an individual and the gifts that you have as an individual, and then as we said at the beginning of this conversation, your gift will make room for you. It may not come the next day, tomorrow, or the next year, but it will reveal itself unto you as it was revealed to me. And not only that, but it will be able to give you many blessings. And the best part about blessings is that you can pour blessings out to other people. So the young people that's struggling with finding their gift, it's there. Ask your friends what the gift is. Ask your parents, ask your cousin, your aunts and uncles. They know what your gift is because they are watching you. And sometimes it's hard to find your gift from inside out. But if you ask the people around you, they will know and tell you what you're good at. And that will help you be a greater person and put you on a path to success. I don't consider myself the greatest or the best at anything, but I am one of the hardest working at what I'm doing to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise through the things that I have. I may not be a preacher, I may not be a song leader, but I am an artist. And so my gift is the ministry of art. And so I want to use that to impact people, because I think the art community inside the church and inside the body is a lot of times overlooked because we can't show our gift during worship. But we can show our gift outside of the building and to the world by being able to use the hands that God give us to be creative. And I always say in my classes, we're more like our creator when we create. So if you're a creative person, don't bury that, because God has got something for you and you need to take it from out of the ground. But if you do bury it, just know there's a great tree that's going to come out with beautiful fruit to be able to bless you and the people around you.
I don't even know if I can follow up behind those nuggets you just dropped. Like, that was dynamite. But with that said, brother, I don't want to minimalize the gift God has put in your life. I want to give it proper credence. So what I'm going to ask you is to share with our listeners, those who have heard your vision and that connect and would like to read more about your stories, where can they find your gift and how can they better support?
Definitely. I actually have two businesses. I'm a serial entrepreneur. But the two that you can be able to find the quickest is I have a sip and paint company that operates in South Florida that's called Paint with Faith. And we're a mobile motivational painting company. So you can go to paintwithfaith.com if you want to have a girls' night, paint party, something for your kids at home, at your church or your school or senior citizens. We can service you and we bring everything to you and we come to you. The second is what we've been talking about on today is the Whole Armor comic book. You can just search in Google the Whole Armor comic book or go to thewholearmorcomicbook.com. Our social media and platforms are the same at Paint with Faith, at the Whole Armor comic book. And make sure you put the Whole Armor, not God, the Whole Armor comic book, and you can find everything you need to know about us. And definitely go out and grab one of those books. Stay tuned for the animation series, and we're looking forward to bless the world with something different and change. As the Bible says, we're going to turn the world upside down.
Guys, with that said, you've heard it here first. Another blazing episode with special guest Chevis Davis, who has torn down the house. You guys know I got to get him back because I do want to talk some more creative things and helping you young people, especially even some of you older heads, to unlock the gift that is in your life. So with that said, you guys get over to his platform, support. You know how we like to do it. But guys, you've heard another edition of the End Zone Club. Stay tuned. Till next time, be blessed.